God's awesome all the time. God is awesome. Look at somebody and say, it is so good to have you in the house of God today. If you have to reach out to somebody, get to them and tell them. It's so good to have you in the house of God today. Again. Last week was awesome. It was Easter. And we know God has gotten us. God has risen. He has gotten us. You know, when I think about like the story that our sister just told us, and it is terrible. It is absolutely terrible. It's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching, and it's aggravating. But what I have discovered is that when somebody's going through some of the worst trials of their life, the deeper the trial, the greater the victory. Amen. And I can't explain. I wish I could. I like that scripture, touch not the Lord's anointing. You know, there's been times, I'll be honest with you, there's times where I wanted to touch someone who touched the Lord's anointing. Okay? I said, okay, Lord, you just turn your pen, I'll take care of it. But you know what? It didn't work. All it did was give me a little bit of satisfaction for just a few minutes. And instead, I had to let God handle it. So right now, I don't understand it. None of us understand this. I don't understand when I got in a couple of texts this morning about a 40-year-old accountant who is doing good and just had a baby 2 weeks ago. His wife just had a baby 2 weeks ago. He died. I mean, he's died. They think it's a heart attack. That's crazy. You know, and I look around and see all these trials and they're going everywhere. And it's just crazy to see these trials. And that's why it's so important that we have a firm foundation to come back to. No matter what, we got a firm foundation that we can always come back to. And that firm foundation is Jesus Christ. And we just celebrated last week about, and we're celebrating today too, about Him rising from the grave. And because He lives, we can face tomorrow. I remember singing that in the halls when I walked to the cancer center. I remember singing that in the funeral home for my mother, in the funeral home for my wife, in the funeral home for Bethany. I'd sing all the time, because He lives, because He lives, because He lives. And I've been with so many people that's gone through so many trials. And I always come back to, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who's holding my tomorrow. And that's Jesus. Amen. Let somebody say that. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And that is Jesus. Amen. Get your Bibles, turn to John chapter 20, verse 19. Let's just go, there we go. Verse 19, then the same day of evening before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, y'all say shut.
Sure.
That means tight, too. I'm not talking about just shut, as in a kid shuts the door. It's shut, tight, shut. But shut where the disciples were assembled for fear, y'all say fear. Look at his words. Fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. Came Jesus, y'all say Jesus, and stood in the midst. And Jesus said, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And I say this, but he says it again. He doesn't say it twice. This has been in there. Peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you shall remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're alive and well, Lord, and you're taking care of us. Don't understand. We don't understand these trials. It doesn't make sense. And they come at us at breakneck speed. It's just so hard to wrap our heads around all this stuff. I ask you right now, Lord, to know, Lord, that although we don't know the answer, you do. And although we can't find the right one, you can. And, Lord, although they can run, but they cannot hide from you. And we trust you with that, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you're powerful. You're one of a kind. There's none like you, God. And we trust you 100%. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen, amen, amen. UMBC to wait out till somebody passes behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen. 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 You know, one Easter Sunday morning, as the pastor was preaching a children's sermon, he reached into his bag of props and pulled out an egg. And he pointed at the egg and asked the children, "What's in here?" The little boy said, I know, little Johnny. I know. And he said, "What?" He said, "Pantyhose." Y'all remember those? We used to fight over who would get to keep the egg after Mama got the pantyhose. No, I'm just give you a good question. See how your brain's working today. What do you call three rabbits in a row hopping backwards simultaneously?
Receiving parallel.
I'm not going to ask Eddie because he knows every joke that's ever been told. Well, he don't know, Stephen does. Y'all are always out of it. Okay. Now, get what he said. I'll bet just what he said. I'm asking one more time. What do you call three rabbits in a row hopping backwards simultaneously? A receding hairline. Okay. All right. We've already read quite a bit of scripture, we've already praised. Here we go. The power of our wounds. Now, we started last week. I'm going to look just a few slides from last week, then we're going to jump right into it. Just so those that weren't here can have some continuity. And so for you yourself can have some continuity. But remember now, because this is just like what she was just talking about in her life and what we're talking about in Dolores' son-in-law's family, his life, and some other people that we know of, and Jimmy Cate and his life, and all this stuff going around us. It's a time of crisis. This was a time of crisis because it was soon after the cross. The crisis was still fresh in their minds. They could still smell the flesh being whipped from him. They could still taste it in their minds. Have you ever tasted something in your mind? They could still taste it. They could see it. They played it over and over again. And that terror was so real, and their hopes were shattered, and so many questions left unanswered. Just then, Sister Francis looked at me and said, "Why?" I don't have an answer. I don't. There's only one that has an answer. And then when I got in Texas this morning, a four-year-old doing good, having a heart attack and dying after just having a baby. That makes sense. I don't understand. There's so many unanswered questions. And some of the things I've seen in the last couple of days, it just blows my mind. And people come to me, "Do you have an answer?" No. No, I don't. But there is one that does. So here they are. They're actually, instead of being out witnessing about what happened and talking about the cross, they're hiding. They're hiding behind locked doors. And I'm not going to go deep into it, but I did last week. But the motivating factor was fear. And that word fear there is phobia. In the Greek, and actually we're getting the word phobia, which means an unreal or highly exaggerated fear. So they're afraid of something that actually is not going to happen. They think that they're coming for them next, they're going to be on the cross in just a matter of days, and so they're not wanting to be around. And so what causes this phobia? The one, there was confusion because they misunderstood his words. Have you ever misunderstood God's words? They misunderstood his words. They were depressed because they had unmet expectations. How many of us have had some unmet expectations? Just recently. Okay? And they were desperate because they needed answers. And there were no answers. So, remember this. Faith has to be active in order to be effective. Amen? But they moved from faith attacking their situation to the situation attacking their faith. Think about it. They were attacking all this stuff with their faith in God, trust in Jesus. He was leading the way. They take Jesus away, and now all of a sudden, instead of their faith attacking the situation attacking their faith. But Jesus was allowing this. Somebody say Jesus doesn't need any fancies in his service. Amen? I think about y'all guys are in the military. When y'all were going through boot camp, did the sergeant get down and say, "I'm so sorry you're feeling bad today"? The guys who in service were laughing right now. Did he come and tell you, "We're so sorry that you don't like what we've assigned you"? Is there something else we can do for you today? No. And so that's a worldly drill sergeant. But we don't have a drill sergeant. We have a loving father. And the loving father knows that things are going to have to get things going. I think about with D.C. And I've told him so many times, D.C. wanted to be a first baseman. He's playing baseball. He's scared of the ball. And so I said, "Son, the only way for you to be not scared of the ball is you're going to have to start catching. So I'm going to really start burning them to you." And he missed so many balls, he jumped out of the way. I had to go chase balls, he was chasing balls. It gave him a catch. We threw three balls every 15, 20 minutes. The rest of the time, we were finding balls. So I said, "Okay, stand up against that wall." He stood up against the wall. And I started throwing to him hard. And if he missed, he hit the wall and come back to me. Unless it come back to him. And his mom come out, she was fussing at me. Man, she was fussing at me. She said, "Don't you hurt my son. What are you doing to my son?" I said, "He's my son, too." I said, "He wants to play first base." I said, "Do you think when he gets on that field, when you come out of the stands and go, 'Okay, DC's mama's here today, so throw it underhanded to him.'" But you know what? That boy, it took a while, but he got so big and bad. I remember today in high school when the pitcher hit him on purpose. DC, instead of giving the ball to the ref, he stood down and picked up that ball and said, "That all you got?" And he threw it back, and you could hear it snapping in that pitcher's belt. He went, "Boom." I said, "That's all those days of standing behind that, in front of that wall." So us in here, Satan needs to see us say, "Is that all you got?" You know, one thing I do like to say, and I know y'all might not want to, and that's fine, but I do, when I find myself in the trial, instead of saying, "Why me?" I say, "Try me." Amen? Bring it on. Because you know what? I got the big brother taking care of me. He's got me. I don't understand. I remember when we were doing the rezoning thing and went to the city council and we're talking to the city council and we all got to center our thing and they took the first vote and we lost. Because they said, "There's no way we can win. There's no way you can win. No way you can win. No matter how much money you throw at it, you're not going to win." And I said, "Y'all, we got to pray before we go up there. We got to pray." And then I was sitting in the front seat and we were still praying and praying. We're holding hands and praying. Got up and talked and come down. And somebody said, "Wait a minute, we messed up that vote." And they stood up and did it again and found out we won. It's amazing. I mean, they're talking about spending $30,000, $40,000, and God turned it around. So don't ever count God out. Ever, ever, ever. So here we are. Our wounds are very powerful. It's a powerful thing. You wonder why God lets you be hurt. Why does God let you suffer? Well, remember, he said, "If you suffer with me, you will reign with me." And Jesus sent us an example. It's one thing for somebody to tell you to do something, they won't do it themselves. It's another thing when they've been through it their own self. So, our wounds are very powerful. We can let them consume us and be of help to nobody, or we can overcome them. And if we overcome them through the power of God, we're going to help a lot of people. So, and this is where we're getting redeemed from last week. Just real quick, there are two types of pains, one that hurts you and the other one that changes you. Here's pain, a crossing for pain. First, pain's powerful because it does work in you that nothing else can do. It'll cleanse you, it'll lift you up, it'll strengthen you, it'll do something that nothing else can do. We all experience it. Every last one of us. We identify with others because of it. And it's never wasted by God. Our pain, y'all say, our pain is never wasted.
By God.
Okay, so now y'all ready? We're getting ready to jump on in there. Ready? Here we go. New stuff. The disciples, now here they are. They're behind locked doors. They are afraid they're coming to get them and put them on a cross. They watch what happened to Jesus. They know that Jesus had both forms of capital punishment. He was scourged and put on the cross. That does not happen. Normally, the scourging or the cross. You don't do both. scourge you, make you walk away from eventually, but cross you never walked away from. And so they're watching this happen to Jesus, and another thing can be happening to them because they were highly identified with him. And so they're hiding. And in order for Jesus to get to them, he just walked through the door and wound up in their midst. And so he's talking with them. And as he's talking with them, they don't they doubt it, that it's him. And so he holds his hands out and lets them see the scars. And he lets them see his side and lets them see his feet. And when they see it, now all of a sudden things begin to change. You know, our wounds, your wounds, propel your message. It's very powerful. I remember hearing about a Greek general. I think it was a Greek general. Can't remember his name right now off the top of my head. But he had two of the soldiers coming back up to him, talking to him. He said, "Where have y'all been?" He said, "We've been in the battle." He said, "Was it a terrible battle?" He said, "It was a terrible battle." And he says, "How'd you do?" And he said, "We did great." And he said, "How can you tell?" The general said, "Show me your scars." One guy had the scars, the other guy didn't. Guess whose story stuck? The guy with the scars. So, our wounds repel our message, verse 19. So, here they are in our life. We talked about last week about being locked up, and now this is the power of God moving on. So watch. He moved beyond the barriers that those doors were locked. The pain causes us to lock ourselves in and lock everybody out. Have you ever been going through something and you locked everybody out? Your loved ones? Somebody trying to talk to you, trying to help you, lock them all out, you just lock them all out. You don't want to hear them. You don't want to be around them. God's trying to bring something to you. You don't hear from God. You don't hear from anybody. You just want to be left alone. They're unlocked doors. But guess what? You may can try to keep Jesus out, but you can't. That stone in the tomb was not to keep him. They thought it was to keep him in. Actually, it was there to keep the guards out because the stone can't stop him. He came out of that grave. Y'all say he came out.
Yeah.
Amen. So he moved beyond barriers. Now, here's the people. They're locked up. Some of us have been that way. We're locked up. We're not talking to people. We don't want to hear what people's got to say. You know, and it's very bad when somebody comes to you and starts talking to you. Don't do this. Don't walk up to somebody and say, "I know how you feel." You don't. You don't. Matter of fact, if you want to do it the right way, say, "Help me understand how you feel. Help me understand what you're going through." That gets a response. "I know how you feel" doesn't. You know, when I lost my mama, somebody there lost their mama. "I know how you feel." "No, you don't." "When I lost my wife." "I know how you feel." "No, you don't." "When I lost Bethany." "I know how you feel." "No, you don't." If you've never lost a loved one, your wounds are powerful because now not only will be unbearable, people will listen to you, but it also helps move beyond confusion because he stood in the midst. That word "stand" means to establish a covenant. He gave a very clear message. "I'm alive." They tried, but they couldn't take me out. And then finally, it moved beyond fear. He said, "Peace." These people needed calming. That's what they needed. That word "peace" is very powerful. We talked about it last week. That word "peace" means to bind together that which has been separated. It's a medical term. It means to bind together this which has been separated. It means to mend the break. It means to stitch up a wound. It means literally to do surgery, put it back the way it's supposed to be. There's some people in here right now, you need to hear Jesus, not me, Jesus, say peace. 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 Be still. Wow. It's a very powerful, powerful, powerful thought. So now, when Jesus started speaking peace, it had a very positive impact. You know, it gets me. And I want to hear from people that have gone through things. I was, Thursday night, of course, we were at Fitness Center. And so I went to the recovering addicts, and And I was actually gonna be a librarian for the entire place, but I sat back and thought these guys first. And there was a guy that had not been acting right when I was there Monday. They're all in the bunks, and I said, well, where's the NA? Because NA's only in there, and NA wasn't there. And I saw the guy laying on his bunk, and I said, you, get up. He said, have I done something wrong? I said, just get up. I said, God, my son, why don't you go in the box? He said, have I done something wrong? I said, just go in the box. We're doing private counseling. So we get to the box, and the other guys are going, it's about time somebody done something with him. When I got in the box, I said, what am I done, man? What am I done? I said, nothing. I said, but I just want to find out why you're acting so weird. And he said, I'm getting ready to go to prison. They give me Suboxone here. Anybody heard of Suboxone? Suboxone is something you take when you get off of heroin. They give you Suboxone so you can stand the withdrawals. You don't have any withdrawal. You don't have any craving and urges for the heroin because you're on the Suboxone. So you're trading one drug for another. An illegal drug for a legal drug. And he said, I decided when I went to prison, I didn't want to be stuck on Suboxone because I'm not sure they could give it to me. He said, when you saw me, I was having withdrawals. That's why I look so like, so look so wild. He said, I'm okay now. I talked to him for 1 hour. And I asked him. He said, for the first time in a long time, I feel like me. And I just said, how about describe for me what does feel like me feel like? And he started talking, and I said, now, take it back. When was the last time you felt like you? And this guy's in his 20s, and he said, 12. And I said, what happened? And then he started going through all the things that happened. And there's some bad things. And I said, but guess what? And he said, what? I said, now you're back to yourself. You got to come to yourself. I said, all that stuff you went through has made you very powerful. Because your wounds are going to propel your message. And he sat up on the edge of his seat. And the Holy Spirit started ministering. And it's very, very powerful. But it changes perspective. Instead of all this bad stuff happening to me, I realized it was happening through me in order that I can work with somebody else and help them. If you could just get in your mind that when bad things are happening, they're not happening to you, they're happening for you, and they're happening through you because your wounds are going to propel a very powerful message. And nobody, look, if you've never been through, don't come to me telling me how to handle my wife and my children if you've never been married. I don't want to hear you. Don't tell me how to hunting regulations. If you don't have a gun, you've never been hunting. Don't tell me. If you've never had a broken arm, don't tell me how it feels to have a break. Your wounds are powerful. So watch this. It's potential to bless others. The Bible says, first, watch this. Your wounds, here's what your wounds can do. It's how to bless others. Your wounds communicate. Your wounds talk. Your wounds go ahead of you. Your wounds will say things that you don't even know they're saying. Because it's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. One of the guys, one of the very first guys in B5, he was out there doing one-handed push-ups. I said, he's a bad dude. And they said the reason he does that is because his hand is dead. And so I really didn't ask him a whole lot about it. He didn't tell me a whole lot about it until he got out. Then he told me. He said, one night, I was sleeping, and I was really, really tired, and I was sleeping, and my mama called to have a wellness check for me. And said the deputy came in And I wouldn't answer the door because I was just out of it. He said, I was not doing drugs. I was not doing anything at the time. He said, I was just tired. He said, I didn't hear him knocking on the door. So they came in the front door. And when they came in my bedroom, I stood up and I saw the police. And I went, stop. And he shot me. He was a carpenter. And I hand up to work. And he was bitter at the police for the longest time. But now he goes all over North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, maybe Tennessee, talking to police about the importance of the SHAR program and the importance of what they do and also how he forgave them. What had happened. Those wounds are powerful. It's powerful. If you just tell him, look, he was mad at every policeman ever walked out there, and now he's working with them. That's powerful. Your wounds are powerful. It communicates. The Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Not only does it communicate, it illuminates. Those wounds left scars. And I promise you, scars is what validates your message. People see the scars. You know, I've seen some show where it said chicks dig scars. You ever heard that? Chicks dig scars. You ever heard that one? God said, I got to have a scar somewhere. I don't want a chick dig my scar, but I want people to see the scar and go, hey, that's not just the place I was wounded. That's the place I was healed. That's the place that God touched me. That's the place where the anointing is something special. So it illuminates. And then it accumulates. As the Bible said, when they saw it, they were glad. When they saw the wounds, when they saw Jesus, they did. Notice, when they saw the wounds is when they got happy. Okay? They caught it. And John even compared, when Jesus was leaving, he compared it to childbirth. John 16:20. Childbirth, he says, travail. When they travail in childbirth, that's the process. When they have the child, that's going to be joy. That's the product. So, getting ready to close. Getting ready to close, okay? Give me just a few minutes. When he started speaking, first he spoke. Then they saw. Then they heard. And then they were glad. He spoke and he showed them the blessing and the birth that said your point of pain that healing begins. Remember that. It's that your point of pain is where your healing begins. It's a productive pain. Then bounty is anything is possible when you give it to God. I'm believing right now, Sister Francis, that police is going to call you and say, guess what? We found him. We found him, we got him, and we got it back. I really believe that you're going to hear something positive out of all this. Amen? Then it shows the power of God to turn around any situation. He said, peace. Again, he said it twice. Peace. Whenever Jesus repeats something, it's because the people listening aren't quite getting it. How many had to say something twice to your kids? Three times. Four times. Five times. You know, I remember the very first things. I remember we got Bethany. She was four. And the only thing she would eat was peas. That's the only vegetable she eat was peas. And she liked to eat potatoes, mashed potatoes, stuff like that. That was it. And she was having some health issues, and so we're trying to make her eat correct, but I was trying to make sure she's right. And so we're trying to get her to eat right. And so Beverly had made some broccoli and cheese. And so we're sitting at a table, and Beverly says, eat your broccoli and cheese. And Bethany says, I don't think so. And That's not a good answer. I said, Bethany, eat your broccoli and cheese. She said, Daddy, I really don't want them. And I told her something like, ain't what Santa Claus brings you. I mean, ain't what she wants what Santa Claus brings you. She goes, oh, it's Christmas, I said, no. Eat your broccoli. And she says, I don't want to. And so Beverly takes a broccoli spear, and she says, open your mouth. And Bethany went open her mouth. She says, open your mouth. So she opened her mouth, and she put the broccoli spear in her mouth. She said, now chew it up and swallow it. She went, And Beverly said, you'll sit there until you swallow it. She said, and 45 minutes later, she's still sitting there going, we already cleaned up the table, cleaned up all the food and everything. She's still sitting there going. And we said, does it taste bad? She said. And she said, and her mom said, all I got to do is swallow it. She went. And she said, well, we're going to sit here until you swallow it. Eventually she swallowed it. Praise God. 45 minutes. We knew that eating that broccoli was good for her. We knew that it was going to help her in the long run. So many times, we're going through things. We don't realize that God knows in the long run, it's going to make us more effective. Right? In the bush, he says, my Father sent me, so I'll send you. I want you to go be my witnesses. So watch this. It's such an impact. I got so many things I want to say right now, some things with places I want to go. I'm trying to filter it all out right now because this is such a powerful, powerful thing. But personal impact. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. What's going on is God was giving them a breath of fresh air to take care of business. And right now, some of us in here need a breath of fresh air, a breath of God's air. You know, how many has ever heard of a high soul person? High, H-I-G-H, soul, S-O-U-L, person. How many have heard of a high soul person? Anybody heard of them? A high soul person is somebody you can pick them out of a crowd. High soul person, number one, children flock to them, not afraid of them. Number two, animals flock to them, they go to them, not afraid of them. Number three, when they speak, people find peace. Number four, crazy people and mean people don't want to be around them. These are people that I call have the thumbprint of God on their life. They're special. They have the breath of God very strongly in their life. When you see a person like that, cherish it. If you're one of them, cherish it. But you know what? God didn't give that to you just so you can say, well, I'm a household person. He gave it to you. So just like you can't breathe on somebody, but you, just like God breathed on you, you can pass it on to somebody else. It's amazing. High soul persons. I pray every day, God, help me to be a high soul person. Somebody can really reach out and make a difference. So now, all the walls, get really close, really empty. Now, Brandon, come on up here. All the walls are built, all the doors that we lock, can't lock out the pain. You're hurting, you're hurting. Nothing can lock out the pain. But also, it can't keep Jesus out either. And just quickly, I tried to put this up last week, and God gave it to me at the very end when I was trying to leave the house. I didn't get it right. So I'll try to do it right now. Read that. How's that? One more time. Wow. He sympathized. He saw the saw the affairs of man and the shape we're in, so he came down from heaven, he sympathized. But then he empathized. He carried a cross. And because he carried a cross of our robes, he gave the greatest hope. Now, let me stop right here for a minute. I can tell you, I'm not, but I can tell you, I won't call them out, but I can tell you they are here. There's a bunch of high soul people here. There he is. If you've never been to anything, all you can do is sympathize. When you got wounds, you got scars. Then you empathize with people. When I hear the word cancer, every time I hear the word cancer, my heart jumps. It aggravates me to no end when I hear that word cancer. When I hear about somebody losing a child, it just tears me up. At one time I sympathized, but now I've got empathy. And I got scars. That doesn't make me super duper wappa looper. Not at all. It just makes me able, in a small way, to breathe hope on somebody else. If you have soul people, don't waste it. Don't waste it. Let God use you. Let God show what he can do through you. If he can defeat the grave, he can help you defeat the gravestones in your life. And you high soul people, and you people with wounds. Let God use you. When you begin to talk and show your testimony of how you stood up against it, you breathe fresh hope to those that's gone through suffering. That's powerful. Remember me telling y'all that when my brother was dying, I had all these preachers calling me up and telling me, you know, be in there, hang in there, be strong. And I thought I'd like to tell you what book they read, what page, what paragraph. And there was this one guy that called me. And the December before, he went to see his daddy, and on the way home, his daddy died, and he had to go back and preach his funeral. And he talked to me about this, and everything he said, the wildest thing happened, working on his sermon, thinking about him. He called me out of the blue. Easter. I went and had lunch with him. Hadn't seen him in 22 years. We had lunch with him the following Monday. And I put my arm around him. And I said, there's something I've never told you. There's something you need to know. He said, what is it? And I told him the story about my mama dying. And I said, I've thought about what you did all over the place. I said, I told everybody to you. I just want you to know that that day you breathed fresh hope in all the pain. You breathed fresh hope. And I just want to thank you 22 years later. Since the last time I seen him, as a matter of fact, Mama died in 97, so that's a long ways away. Never knew what I said, so 1997 when she died, all the way up to right now, it was your testimony that God used to bolster me and lift me up as I watch my mama die. He looked at me with tears in his eyes, and I said, thank you. I hugged him. Then he handed me his ticket for us. I took his ticket for us. I didn't hand it to him. Be a nice little person. Don't be afraid and ashamed of your scars. Show them. Show them. It's going to help somebody, somewhere, when you least expect it. You may not hear about it on Earth. This guy didn't hear about it from 1997 until the Monday after Easter. God's got something special. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of your scars. Remember, and there's nothing to brag about either. Don't get there bragging about them. Just let the scars speak for themselves, and then you let God speak through you. And watch what will happen. Everybody please stand. God, it's so awesome. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and the first, very first thing, God, you would say, God, I'm not where I want to be with you. I know I can get deeper with you, and I want to, but nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. But just stick that hand up and say, I really need to get closer to you, God. I really do. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Now, I'm asking even harder. If you're here, and you brought scars with you, physical scars, mental scars, emotional scars. And the devil in the world is trying to tell you how bad you are because you have these scars, and how worthless you are because you have these scars. Today, I hope you see it in a whole different light. If you're here today and you're scarred mentally, physically, emotionally, and you want God, instead of you hiding from those scars or hiding behind them scars, you're ready for God to use you and use those scars. And nobody looking around, just put those hands up. Bless the Lord. Bless, 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 bless. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I thank you for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you first loved me. Help me to draw close to you. Because you said, if I drew close to you, that you would draw close to me. Help me to do that, God. And Lord, these scars I have, mentally, emotionally, physically, help me not be ashamed of them. Help me not to hide behind them. And help me not to hide them. But God, let them speak. And Father, help me to listen to you as they speak and breathe new life into lost souls. I thank you for it. It's in your hands. I trust you 100%. In the name of Jesus, this day is yours. I give it to you, and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Did I tell y'all guys are looking good today? With the exception of a couple of y'all, really don't look good. Y'all are looking good. Y'all really are. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to, I'm going to ask God, let's see here. I'm asking Brother Wayne, thanks to Thunder Grace after St. Lord's Prayer. And Tuesday night, we're talking about reasons not, what reasons to keep you in there when you want to quit. All right? And you want to quit. We're doing some good stuff. And so it's really, really good. And it's really kind of awesome because I didn't plan it this way. But I'm doing the same Bible study in a different way, much different. I'm doing the same Bible study with the recovering addicts. So what you get Tuesday night, there'll be some kind of a form of it was given tomorrow at Pitt. So come on, be out here because it's really special, especially if like you want to quit, you just want to quit. Remember, your scars tell a story that nothing else can. Nothing else can. Amen? All right, say the Lord's Prayer, and Brother Wayne will take us out of here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us pray. Our Father in God, it is a privilege and an honor to be able to stand before you today. Thank you for your mercy, your grace. Thank you for the day you bless us with, Father. Thank you for the help that you have given us, Lord. Father, we've heard the word today, Father, and we ask you to embed it upon our hearts. Let's go out and share it with those, Father, that need you, Lord. Father, we continue to ask you to be with us at all times, Lord. Let us never take our eyes off your scars. Go with us now and bring us back at the next appointed time. This and all things I'll always ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. And to this I say, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have missed.